Alright, so it's 12:15, we can start. So let's quickly refresh what we did on Wednesday. So we were discussing relational model. And before I say something, can you remind me what did we study? What did we study in relational model? Whatever is here, something from here, can you remind? What is a relation? What is a row or tuple? What are attributes? Right? So these are the things we saw last time. And what else we saw? The constraints we saw. And how many constraints are there? Four constraints. Domain constraint. What does it mean? That value in that particular column or attribute should be from the domain of that attribute. That is the domain constraint. Then we saw key constraint, entity integrity constraint, and referential integrity constraint. What does key constraint mean?
Tuples.
Yes, two tuples cannot have the same value for the key attribute. So if it is social security number, every employee should have a unique value for that if that is our key. Social security number is our key. And then what was entity integrity constraint? Yeah?
The key attribute values cannot be null.
Key attribute values cannot be null. And what was referential integrity about? It's difficult to say in one sentence, but when we establish a foreign key and we reference it to primary key of another relation, we make a parent-child relationship between two tables. That means some conditions are automatically enforced, which is you cannot delete a parent if the child exists. You cannot change the value of a parent or a child if there is no matching. So you cannot change a value of the parent if there are some children, or you cannot change the value of the children to a value that doesn't exist in the parent. And while inserting also, there is no problem in the parent table inserting, but there is a problem in the child table inserting, that we cannot insert a child for which parent doesn't exist, right? So we will go through that once more today. But before we do this, I showed you one small example last time and I asked you to look into it yesterday. Do you remember this example? Can you see, or I am obstructing your view? Can you see what's written? Okay. So this is, and what we are required to do, we need to draw a relational schema diagram specifying the foreign keys for this schema. So these are the tables. With the help of underline, we can see that there are some primary keys, but we need to establish the relations. How do we establish the relations? With the help of common attribute, right? Between the relation. So you need to identify what are the foreign keys in which table. If you wish, I can fill some data. Not full data, but something which we can make you understand it better. So in the student table, we have social security number, name, major, and birth date. The most important is the social security number. And there are some values here. We are not that concerned here. And this is our primary key. And then we have course. And in the course table, we have course number, And we have course name and department. And suppose there are two courses, some name, some department. Trying to effectively use the board because it is not too big. And then we have book adoption. So there may be different book adapted for the same course in different semesters. So we have course number in the book adoption and we have semester. And then we have the book ISBN. And suppose the course C1, there is semester, for example, C1 is our database course. So database course fall, for example, 2016. And for another course, it was opened in fall 2016. And the same course can be opened in fall 2017. And in the same course, we used different books. Or maybe same book for another course. And what else is remaining? We have the details of the textbook then. And in the textbook, we have book ISBN. And we have book title. And we have publisher. And finally, we have author. Right? And we have book B1, B2, and B3. And there are some details here. And the final table is enrollment table. And in enrollment table, we have social security number of the student who is enrolled, which course the student is enrolled, which semester the student is enrolled, and finally the grade, the thing for which we are all working towards, coming to the class, studying and doing everything, the grades. Alright, so the student, suppose student 1, we have 4 students. So student 1 is taking course database in semester fall 2016. Student 2 is taking the course in fall 2017, or there is a possibility that the same student is taking the same course again. So a same student 1 is taking the same course database in fall 2016 as well as in fall 2017. That can be possible. Then again, another student, for example, student 3, is taking another course in fall 2016. And the last student is taking the same course in fall 2017. And let's suppose they, okay. All right. So let's suppose this is the data, imaginary data. And now maybe with the data you can understand better that why we have composite keys. Can you see in the student table? We don't need a composite key, in fact, because every student is coming only once and their social security number is unique. So that's why social security number alone can make up the key. Same with the course. Every course code is unique, and that's why that is making the primary key. Now see in the book adoption table, according to the problem, it says that the course number plus semester is the key. Now why can't the course alone make up the key? That's why. Because a course is opened many times in different semesters. So the value is repeating here. So this alone cannot make the key. And the same semester name is also coming multiple times. So semester alone cannot make the key, because many courses are opened in the same semester. So semester name cannot make the key. But every course is opened only once in a particular semester. So combination of those two can make the key, right? That's why course number, course code along with the semester is making the key, right? So that's why there is a composite key. In the textbook, there is not a problem. Every book ISBN is unique. So book ISBN is making the key. That's not a problem. Again, see in the enrollment, the social security number of the student alone cannot make the key, because a particular student can take the same course multiple times if he or she cannot clear it according to whatever grade that person deserves. So they may take the same course multiple times, so their name may come multiple times, and the same student can take different courses also. So there can be a possibility that student 1 is also taking course 2 in fall 2017. So the student number will come multiple times. Similarly, the course number will also come multiple times, because many students are registered to the same course. Even the same student can take the same course multiple times. So even these two combination cannot make the key. See here, student 1 database, student 1 database again. So even these two together cannot make the key, because a student can take the course multiple times. A course number, course plus semester may make the key. Let's see. Yeah, that could be a possibility. Anyway, here it is possibility. Let's see. Why? Yes, so same course will come multiple times. So that also not a possibility. So all of them together makes up the key. So we have already, actually in the problem, it is already identified what's the key. Now you need to make the connections. So first of all, look for common columns and try to establish those foreign keys. Now you have to help me here. Can we start? Anybody having any idea about any of the foreign key? Because currently that doesn't satisfy our definition of database. Because what is the definition of database? Collection of related data. There is no relationship. Within a table they are related, but among multiple tables there is no relation right now. So, anybody having any idea where can be a foreign key? Yes.
The course ID in book corruption.
Okay.
It's from the course ID.
That's correct. So, course number in the book adoption table is a foreign key which is coming from course table. And as you can see, while filling the data, I kept that in mind. So, whatever values are here can only appear here. Although I kept that in mind while filling, but there is a possibility that you may have the value while filling. But if you will try to enter something like that, the row will not be inserted. So, that is one of the foreign key that is in book adoption table. All right, what else? Book ISBN, yes. In the same table, the book ISBN is the foreign key which is basically coming from textbook table. So, the book ISBN of textbook table, which is the primary key here, will be referenced by book adoption, book ISBN attribute as a foreign key. So, in this table, we will have foreign key which will reference the primary key of textbook table, right? Any other?
In the enroll table, SSN is a foreign key and SSN in the student is a primary key.
Okay, so from the enrollment table, the social security number alone is a foreign key which is referencing the social security number of student table, which is the primary key there. So, the course number is also a foreign key which is coming from course table. So, course number in the enrollment table is the foreign key coming from course number of course table. So, this is also a foreign key. Any other? There is one more. Semester alone. Then? Course and semester, which is a primary key in this table, is basically together, is the foreign key coming from here. So, from here, in this table, we know which course is opened in which semester, and while giving the grade, the same combination should come here. So, we cannot make up any combination here. All the combinations which are coming of course and semester, which are coming in the enrollment table, those combinations are coming from the book adoption table. So, these are the foreign keys we have. Anything, any other which I missed? So, basically there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 table. So, 5 foreign keys. So, 2 of the foreign keys are in book adoption table. And 3 of the foreign keys are in enrollment table. Now, so which tables are parent and which table are children? The tables which contains the foreign key are children, and the tables where there is no foreign key are the parents. So, student table is a parent table to which, what is the child table? There is only one child table, that is enrollment for this parent table. Similarly, textbook is a parent table. For which table it is a parent table? For book adoption, because the only link is with the book adoption. So, it is the parent for child book adoption, right? And student is the parent for child enrollment table. And course is also a parent table for which child table book adoption. Right? And these two are child table. But book adoption table is both a parent as well as child. It is a child table for textbook and it is a child table for course. But it is a parent table for enrollment. See here this foreign key coming here. So this is playing both role. For two of the tables it is a child table. But for this it is a parent table. So this is parent for enrollment, but it is a child for other two. Whereas enrollment table is just a child table for which tables, and the parents are student course and book adoption. Right? Why we are trying to find it out? You learned create table command, right? So when we create the table, we need to create the primary key, foreign key. Have you learned integrity constraint? Not yet, I think. You haven't learned that, how to put primary key and foreign key. Have you? No. So when you put the foreign key and primary keys, you need to follow the order while creating the table and also while inserting the data, which you are going to learn later on. So you need to first create the parent table. So student, course and textbook will be created first and then the child tables will be created. So in this student, course and textbook, the order doesn't matter. You can create any one of them before or any of them later. Right? So all three of them should be created before we can create these two, because these are the parent table. They should also have the data before we can insert data in these two tables. So they must be created before, they must be populated before we can populate the data in them. Right? Now between these two, which should be created first? Book adoption should be created first because this is a parent for this. So our one order of creation and population, populating the data can be student, course. Actually, it doesn't matter between student, course and textbook. It can be in any order. So I'm just writing it like that. And then you need to create book adoption table. And then finally, you need to create enrollment table. If you are trying to enter some row here, then that row should be present here. If you are trying to enter some row here, then the parent should already exist for them. Right? And while deletion also, if you are deleting something here, which already exists in here, you need to first delete from the child, then only you can delete from the parent. So this actually gives you an overall idea what is the order of creation and populating the data. Right? Now let's go to the second problem. Please read it. This is all the assumption. The question will come in the second. May I erase this? Yeah, sure. Okay. So this is done and we can start the second problem. Have you all, can I erase this? Please read the problem. Actually, there is no question yet. This is just to understand, and the questions are later. So these are the three tables. The connection is also given here, the foreign keys. So we have car table with attributes, serial number, model, who is the manufacturer, and finally, what is the price? And they are saying in the car table, we have already two rows, which is 825, Z3, BMW, and the price is very less, 15,000, and then 230. And this is the model Toyota, and the price is 22,000. In some alternate world, it is only possible that Toyota is expensive than BMW. Okay. And then we have sales table. And in the sales table, we have salesperson ID and then we have serial number, we have date of sale, I think, and finally we have sale price, right? And the only data which is there is salesperson ID is 10. Oh, the sales data is 10 and the serial number is 825, serial number of the car which was sold, and the date is 2004 August 9 and the sale price is 15,000. This is the data. And the last table is salesperson. And in salesperson, we just have salesperson ID. And we have name of the salesperson and the phone number. And the data is, the ID is 10, the name is Ali, and the phone number is, this is the phone number. The primary key and foreign keys are already specified, so we have primary key in the car table as serial number. In the sales table, the salesperson ID plus serial number is primary key because a particular salesperson can sell many cars, so the same ID can come multiple times, so that's why it cannot be the key. So the combination is the key, and in salesperson table, the salesperson ID is the primary key. And actually the foreign keys are also specified here, although not written specifically. the serial number of the sales table is basically coming from serial number of car table. So there is a primary key foreign key combination, and then another foreign key is salesperson ID of sales table is coming from salesperson ID of salesperson table. So this is the connection. Which are the parent tables? Which one is the parent? Which one is the child? Car and the salesperson are the parents, and sales table is the child for both of them. So whenever we need to just be careful while entering the data in the sales table, that the salesperson ID column in the sales table should only contain the data which is already present in salesperson table, and serial number data should come from the car table. Okay, so far good. Any questions? Now we are moving to the problems, and we need to, whenever we are doing this, we need to identify, is there any constraint violation? If yes, you need to tell which constraint violation, and if maybe it can be successfully executed, there is no violation, right? So this is the question. So shall we start with the first one? What does it say? That in the sales table, insert this tuple. So we are trying to insert. Can you try doing it yourself? Try and tell me if there is any violation. No violation. So we are adding 10, 230. Already existing in both the table, no problem. 2004, 01, 01 and 22,000. So the
violation in the deep line, because the key attribute is null.
Okay, we will come to the D quickly. Okay, so this can be done. The A has no problem. Let's go to the B. We are inserting, B has problem too.
Yeah.
Before going to the D, let's find out B. 230, 10, and we have 2005, 1, 1, and the price is 10,000. Okay. What is violated? What is the constraint name? Referential. Is there a domain constraint violation? We don't know. If they both are numbers 5-digit, then no violation. But if suppose there is something like that salesperson ID can be number 2 only, then there is a domain constraint violation also. But right now it seems that suppose both of them are number 5, then in that case there is no domain constraint violation, just the referential integrity violation, because there is no 230, there is no salesperson with ID 230 in the salesperson table, and there is no car with the serial number 10 in the car table. So this will not be executed. And then the next one is 10, 825, 2004, 01, 01 and 2200. Is there a problem? Look carefully. There is a problem. Key constraint. You already executed the first one. Yeah, the second one, the first one is already there, and you are trying to enter the same value again, and the combination of these two is the key. So you cannot have the same combination again. So this is the key constraint violation. So we cannot enter this row also. And the last, as one of your classmates already told us, I don't know what is the fourth value. If we don't provide, it is automatically null. Because there are only three values mentioned in the D. And if while inserting, if we don't specify which column, it just takes the order. It will put the first value in first, second in second, third in third. Right? So now tell me, is there only one violation, like she said, entity integrity constraint, or are there other violations as well? Okay, domain constraint for serial number. It cannot be date. It should be a numeric value in this particular column. Similarly, for the date also column, domain constraint violation, because it cannot be a number. It should be a date. For this null, there may not be a problem because null can, it is not a key attribute. There is no foreign key type of problem. Even in foreign key, we can put null. And if while creating the table, we didn't say that sale price can be null or cannot be null. If we have put that constraint that it cannot be null, then only it is the domain constraint violation. But if nulls are acceptable while creating the table, then we can put the null. So the problem is here, here, as well as here. These are domain constraint and this one is referential integrity entity integrity constraint. Right? Now what we are saying, delete the sales tuple with sales ID is equal to 10. So we are trying to delete this. Can we? Because there are some children there. So it is again the referential integrity constraint violation. Then, I did F. You put the, I'm also now skipping, going directly to the next one. Okay, let's suppose this is the F solution. Let's come back to E. We are trying to delete the sales tuple with salesperson ID 10. That means we are trying to delete both of them. Right? Can we delete them? There is no problem in deleting. So we can delete these two. So E has no problem, but F has a problem because we are trying to delete from the parent. Yes. We have deleted the children, so we can delete this. So skipping can be a problem sometimes. All right. Update the price attribute of the car tuple with model Z3 to null. So I'm just changing this to null. Is there a problem? Price. What did I do? Okay, price. I'm not changing this. Okay, it's Friday. I can understand. My battery is going down. Okay. It's null. Is there a problem? No, there is no problem. So G can be done. What about H? Update the serial number attribute of car tuple with serial number 825 to 230. Key constraint violation, it will be same as this. Currently, there is no data in the child table. But if we had not deleted that, then there will be a violation of referential integrity as well. So, in the exam, if I will give you such kind of question, I will specify whether you should take into account the previous queries while answering or whether you should do all of them independent of each other. Right? Because sometimes in successive it is possible, but independently okay, or vice versa, whatever, right? So I'll specify. Is that clear what we did? Okay. What's the time now? It's almost time for break. Let's take a early break today, and then we will do some exercises on Kahoot. And if you will agree, although we have already finished relational model, I don't have anything else to teach, but we can discuss some SQL if you like.
sauf quand t'es gréé.
Men blir han med den liksom helse først eller?
Could you please take the key and join Kahoot?
Yes.
There are just 15 here, so I'm sure there are more than 15 here. It's very simple. It's like a child play today. The questions are like a child play for you. You have already done so much more. And anyway, I cannot recognize who is giving the wrong answer. So please experiment. Right? Shall we start? 18. 19.
Almost.
I don't know how many are there. 3 and 6, 9, 12, 13. 16, 20, 24 are here, so two more to go. 23, okay, who is the most shy person? Come, we can start. All right, it seems someone doesn't have... Okay, now we have complete class. Okay, let's start. An entity set that does not have sufficient attributes to form a primary key is a... Yeah, sure. You just move, I'll do it. Is it fine now? Okay, five more. It showed, okay, maybe I didn't give the sufficient time. It showed the real answer. How, yeah, it's correct. My mind is not working today. Yeah, so you have already given the correct answer. We all know. So the entity set which doesn't have sufficient attribute to form the key is weak. And those who have sufficient are called strong entities. Okay, who is that person? How can one person get more? Okay, maybe because they answered fast. Yeah, who is that? Wow, great. Okay, let's see whether you can keep up till the end. Someone is just behind you. Very easy. So easy. That's what I said. Today's is like a child play. One more answer quickly before the time. Okay. Attributes are represented by ellipse. You all are working on assignment too. I thought you all will give the correct answer for that. Okay. Who thought triangle? Triangle. Okay. Square. Okay. Anyway, I'm not judging anyone. I can also make the same mistake. Let's move forward. All right. He's keeping up. Somebody come up. Just 4 points behind. Who is that person? Next time, answer quickly. He doesn't have to be first all the time. That doesn't mean that I'm not rooting for you winning, right? Okay, entity set is represented by, very simple, we are learning this from last 2 weeks, 3 weeks happened. Can't you give me 100% correct answers? entity set is represented by a rectangle. We all know. Okay, let's go. Please try to do correct. At least in one answer, all of you correct.
Okay.
It's so easy, right? Okay. He has gone almost out. Where did you go? I didn't mean that. Okay. Which symbol is used to represent weak entity? This time, please, 100%. Double rectangles, don't we do this for weak entities? What did you say? Dotted?
Yeah.
Dotted is?
Yeah,
you understood late. Sometimes, yeah, it happens. Okay, maybe next question, full answer. This time I am getting even less than 50% correct answers. Okay, who is that person? Wow. What is that key with the help of which we represent the relationship between tables? Now this should be correct. We just learned. You can't forget this. Okay. What are you people doing? Seven people said primary key. Are you doing it intentionally? Not to give 100% correct? I may go happy that at least I taught one thing correct. Which everybody understood. Anyway, please in next question, think before answer. Okay, the same person, still winning. Who is this Bebai? Okay, just come at the first. A set of possible data values for an attribute is called think before choosing the answer. Don't you want to be a class where all of you are correct? Not for me, but for you. Let's hope for correct answers this time. Okay, three of them are not answering, it seems. Two of them, okay. Just seven. We just learned domain. For a particular attribute, set of possible data values are called permissible. Yeah, set of possible values. If we are writing like this, what does it mean? Yeah, this also means that for that particular attribute, all the numbers which are maximum 11 digit, that is a set. Maybe I didn't put the in a correct word. Just seven are correct. It's going down. At least improve it. Okay. Still the same person. Chris. Who is Chris? Okay, Chris, just buck up. Even if we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, we are less than 50%, but still we can win, right? So you have the chance. I'm rooting for you. A primary key is combined with the foreign key, creates what kind of relationship between table? Now, this I have just told you multiple times in the previous example. What kind of relationship is created when we have primary key, foreign key? Please think before answer. Okay, let's see. Oh God, give us 100% this time. Anyway, this is our best score so far. So whatever we have got, just be happy in that. Anyway, I need to work a little bit more hard for that one person. Okay, Chris, Just 500 points behind. Less than 500 points behind. Okay. What will be the primary key for student? Before deciding, see the other table also. That may, you need to make later on primary key, foreign key combination. So think before deciding what can be the primary key. Although there can be two answers, but if you see the other table, then you will know there can be only one correct answer. Roll number, why? I'll show you because although the enrollment number and roll number both shows the unique value, but if we will take enrollment number as primary key and then there is another table, there is no enrollment number there. So how we will make this relationship then, primary key, foreign key combination? So whenever you have multiple columns, try to look for a column which is also present in another table. That's why two tables were shown there, not one table. And I gave you the hint also. Anyway, 9 correct. Good. Okay. Less than 300 behind. What will be the primary key of grade relation? Look carefully before choosing. A student is taking different courses and getting the grades. And let's assume a student can take a course only once. Okay, 10 of you are correct. Roll number plus course. That's the combination. Okay, maybe the last question. Just 100 point behind. Okay. Name the relation with attribute name that will be foreign key among these relations. That will contain the foreign key. Why did you choose student roll number? Should I make the drawing here? Let's see the table. There is some real confusion going on here. Okay. Wow, 3 cheers for Chris. Okay, that is the one I was rooting for. Great. And who is second? Who is second? Okay, sorry, this time. Next time maybe I'll root for you. Don't mind it. We have not very good representation of females, girls. So I have to be with the group which is comparatively weaker here. Not here, not from here, but in number. But next time I'll root for you. And who is the third person? Wow, there are 2 girls. Great. Great. Okay. And who is the fourth person? Wow, there are 3 girls. You don't need my support. And who is the fifth person? Okay, this time I think boys need my support. There are 2 boys and 3 girls. Wow. All right, so let's see the question where you people have little bit messed up. I hope I can see this individual question. I don't remember. I didn't use it from last time, so maybe I need to preview it. sorry, it will take some time, or maybe I can edit. Oh my God, I need to enter also. I should have edited it. Okay. I need to put my... Oh God, it is going to take all of the questions. Let me enter something. Okay. I should have edited it. This is called random. You may be lucky. I have zero so far. Oh God. Yeah, wow, by chance. I'm answering correctly. Okay. We are almost there. Okay, look here. Yeah. These are the tables. First of all, choosing the primary key. It may go, but we will have another question. Choosing the primary key, although it seems enrollment number is also unique, but if you see both the tables together, it's better to choose roll number, because later on we may need to establish the relationship and roll number is also in the other table. So although there are two candidates, it's better to choose the other one. And see here, what was the question you had problem with? Obviously, we know the primary key of the grade will be roll number plus course. And then, because the same roll number is coming multiple times here, and there it is the primary key only coming once, so that will be the parent table, and this will be the child table. And this will be the foreign key referencing the parent table, because every roll number is... Just look for the table where that attribute is coming only once, where that is the primary key. That table is always the parent table. And the other table is the child table. Okay. We don't need to do it anymore. All right. So what is now left? Let's see a little bit of SQL. Which statements you have done so far? I think you have only did... You already did the DDL statements, isn't it? You might have seen this slide in the first lab or second lab. Do you remember this? All the statements of SQL are divided into different categories. So, you haven't seen any of the DML statements so far. So, you have only seen these statements, DDL statements, and data definition language statements are those statements from SQL which helps you to describe the structure, to create the structure or establish the primary key, foreign key. Because whenever there is a table that needs to be formed, you cannot put the data first. First you need to create the structure without the data. That what's your table name, how many columns will be there, what is the names of the column, what's the data type, what's the length, what's the primary key, is there a foreign key. So you first create the structure, and all the statements of SQL that helps you to create or make the changes in that structure comes under data definition language commands. So all SQL statements are divided into categories. So you are right now learning DDL commands, right? But later on, once you will finish creating the structure, you need to insert the data inside that. You need to maybe update the data inside that. Or you just want to view the data. You are not making any changes, just want to see the data. What is stored inside that? In different formats, in different ways. For example, in the employees table, we have all the employees. But suppose if I want to see only those employees whose salary is greater than, for example, 30,000. Then I don't want to see all the employees. I just want to see the employees whose salary is greater than some value. Then you need that kind of statement. So all those statements which helps you to view the data or retrieving the data, here it is written, or which helps you to insert a new row, delete an existing row, or update some value of an existing row. All those commands come under DML, Data Manipulation Language. You are not doing anything to do with the structure. Structure is defined. Now you want to just play with the data, right? And those are DML commands. And the simplest in that is the retrieving data, because there is no problem. You are not making any changes. You are just viewing the data, doing nothing else, right? In different formats. So let's see that statement today. Just 15 minutes and then you can go. So we are using again the same HR schema, but for today's we just need to use these two tables. Employee table you might have already seen. Have you seen? Have you tried in MySQL? Yes. Workbench? So we have the department table and we have the employees table. Although we didn't see anything, do you suggest the primary keys in these tables? How do you see the structure of the table? Have you learned that command? Describe command, which shows you all the columns, what's their data type and what is the primary key or if there is a foreign key. So here, can you suggest just by looking, forget about what's the structure internally. Can you suggest the primary key of both the table or is there a foreign key somewhere? Just to refresh what we have just learned, relational model. If there are two tables, they need to be related. Little bit loudly, please. It doesn't matter if it is incorrect.
In the part list, the part list ID is key.
Yes.
And then you have it in employees as well.
So we have in the... Yeah, so in the department table, department ID is the primary key. In employees table, employee ID is the primary key. And then in the employees table, we have the department ID at the end, which will be our foreign key, referencing to the primary key. Departments table, primary key. So which is the parent table then? Department is the parent table. Every department's ID value is coming only once, but there are many employees working in the same department. So the same value can come multiple times here, right? So this is the structure. SQL statements are not case sensitive. You can write on multiple lines as long as there is no semicolon. It will be the same line. Clauses we usually place on the separate line. We will talk about clauses in a moment. Usually we use the indents. Some tabs, some spaces are given to enhance the readability. So we will study the select statement, which helps us to retrieve the data. We just retrieve and see it without making any changes. And the capability of SQL statement is, it can help you, if this is the table with 5 columns, it can help you to just retrieve some selective columns only. It can help you, yeah. Anything will work. And in the selection, it can help you to select some of the rows only based on some condition, like where salary is greater than 30,000, Or it also helps you to join two tables. When suppose, if suppose a query is like that, this is the structure. I want you to show the details of all the employees along with their department name. Can we get this data from single table?
No.
Because in this table, there is no department name. Department name is in another table. So in this case, to answer this query, we need to join these two tables. And that we will talk later, or maybe in one of the labs you will learn. So we are just looking at simple select statements. So this is the syntax of select. But for today, you just need to know the first three lines. Select which columns, from which table, where is conditional, optional, you can put, right? So let's see. Usually we use this, but it is not a compulsion. It is just for readability that we use the uppercase for SQL terms like select, from, where. And whatever is written inside, we use the lowercase. But it's not a compulsion. And then we use the indentation. Like everything under the select, we just give one tab to see that it is the same statement continuing. Just like we do in any other language. Just to improve the readability. Okay, so select identifies what column. From identifies which table. So this is the simplest command. Select star. Star represent all of the columns. So if you want to see all of the columns, you write star. If you want to see only some of the columns, then you will write select department ID, comma, department name from department table. Right? So if you want to see all of them, there is no point in writing all of them separated by comma. You can just write star and everything will return. But in this case, all the columns will be returned and there is no where clause. So all the rows will also be returned. So all columns and all rows. And then see here, two columns, all the rows, because there is no where, right? Which is better? Of course, the first one. We need to write less, more efficient. Okay. And you can use these operators on between the columns. So you can do some multiplication, division, mod. If you want to do integer division, then div, etc., etc. For example, this doesn't make sense. For example, if you want to see, you are thinking of increasing every employee's salary. And you want to see how will it look like if you give 10% increment to every employee. So we are not making any changes. We just want to view. So how can we write that? So this is just adding 300, but we want to give 10% raise to everybody. What can be the statement in that case? See the first name, last name, salary and increased salary of every employee. How will you write it? So obviously, select will be there. This will be there. Right? So what you are going to write? We not need to know first name, last name, original salary, and now you need to know the improved salary after giving the 10% raise. Tell me. Yeah. Salary. The symbol for multiplication is this. So a new column is temporarily formed just for viewing purpose. Nothing is changing inside the table. Right? Select doesn't have the capability to make any changes. This is another, just an example. You can use more than one operator at the same time. Which will be computed first? Multiplication and then the addition. So all that mathematical rules apply. But if you want to change that order, you can use the brackets. Let's not talk about the null values for now, because I want to show you the where clause. You want to retrieve only some of the rows. For example, you want to retrieve employees working in department number 90. So in the employees table, we have set of all the employees working in different department, but you want to just see the employees working in department number 90. And in that case, we add one more thing to the select, which is where clause, right? And here is the SQL statement, where department ID is equal to 90. So it will be only seen. This is a simple condition here in the where clause, just one condition with one operator, but you can have a compound condition also. For example, I tell you, retrieve all the employees who are working in department number 90 and whose salary is greater than 10,000. Can you write it? Now? Yeah. Can you write it? And because there will be two conditions here, one is department ID is equal to 90, and then there will be one more condition. You can join those condition with AND or. Right? Because department number should be 90 and salary should be greater than something. In this case, we need AND, but there can be OR also can be used. So we all know what is the difference between the two. So if we are using AND, only those rows will be returned where both conditions are true. If you are using OR, only those rows will be returned where one of the condition is true. Huh?
Both of them.
No, both of them are only correct when you are using AND. If you are using OR, then all the rows will be returned whether either of these conditions will be true. So those employees whose salary may be less than 10,000, but if they are working in department number 90, they will be returned. Or those employees whose salary is greater than 10,000, but they may be working in any department, will also be returned if we are using OR. Okay? Same like what we have learned in mathematics. What's the discussion? Okay, everything is clear, right? Everything is clear, right?
Or you would show both of them as well.
If they are true?
No. The truth table for OR is, for example, this is the condition. Right? And if we are writing this, the result for this will be most definitely less rows than in this case, because the truth table for AND is how it is. In the case of AND, both the conditions have to be true. Suppose if I fill the data and there are many employees, salary, department ID, If suppose this is the data, and if we are using the first condition, two conditions joined by AND, and if this is the data, what does it mean? It will only return the rows where department number is 90 and also salary is greater than 10,000. So this will be returned. This will not be returned because here salary is not greater than. This will be returned. And this will not be returned because here the department number is not 90. So these two rows will be returned. If we are doing for this, if we are doing for this, of course these two will return, but at the same time, because there is a OR, it will only check for the truth of one of the condition. So in that case, this will also be returned, although the salary is less than 10,000. So the second condition is not true, but one of them is true. The department number is 90. So this will also be returned. Similarly, this will also be returned, although the department number is not 90, but the salary is greater than. So it is either or. Even if one of the condition is true, the row will be returned to us. We are on the same level, so why did I understand it?
I asked it, the OR statement, if one or other or both of them.
One or other.
Or both of them.
Yeah, both of them will also be returned, obviously. Because in that case also one of the condition is true, right?
Yeah,
so both of them will also return. Okay, it's not exclusive. No. Okay, I misunderstood the question. Okay, what this is doing? What this is returning?
Employee name Wade.
So it is returning the employees whose last name is this, right? In MySQL, the date format is, default date format is this. So if you are making any date comparison, for example, an employee whose hire date is later than this date, then the comparison should be made in this format only. Okay? I think we should not do much more in this case. If you have any questions, you can ask. Because I don't want to give you too much information, you will have labs. A teaching assistant should have something to do, right? I am not supposed to do their duty. Okay, so I assume no questions.
Yep.
Have a nice weekend. And before we meet, you have one submission. So those who have not submitted, please submit. I think the last date is Tuesday. So you need to submit till Tuesday midnight. See you on Wednesday.